Welcome to Scripture Beneath the Surface, an outreach of Preparation Ministries, a presentation to encourage God's people to embrace a life of holiness and to move away from the worldly lifestyle of today's church. It is our hope that you will come to understand the message of 2 Corinthians 6, 17, and 18, which tells us to come out from among them and be a separate people. We bring this to you because we believe Jesus is coming soon. Now here is our host, Randy Smith.
Hello. Thanks for being with us. Today, I'd like to pick up where we left off last week concerning the significance of different numbers, which are used in the Bible. Last week, we talked about the number 3 and how it was the very basis of creation in that God had said, "Let us make man in our own image." And because God is one God, but is made up of 3 individual parts, then we as humans have also been created to be one human person made up of 3 individual parts. And God has done this in order that we might conform more perfectly to the image of God. Now, the next numbers I would like to discuss are the numbers 6 and 7. 6 and 7 are very interesting numbers in the Bible because they are used to describe the final destination of man. And of course, our final destination is what it's all about. Our first life as physical human beings is temporary. What's really important is making it to the second life, which is eternal. But let me stop here for a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. What I'd like to do first, before we discuss the numbers 6 and 7, is to give a short review of last week's message concerning the number 3, because understanding the concepts of the number 3 is absolutely necessary to properly apply the concepts of the numbers 6 and 7. So as I spoke last week, we are a living soul, which means that we are alive and are aware of our own existence. And because we are alive, we have the ability to think. Our mind contains our thoughts, and it is our thoughts, beliefs, and convictions which make up who we really are down deep inside in the inner recesses of our heart. Now, in addition to our soul, we have a second part of us, which is our body. Our body is the physical part of us. And it is our body which can be seen and recognized by other physical beings. And because our body is the outward portion of us, then it can demonstrate our thoughts, beliefs, and convictions to other humans by words and actions. It is the body which people see. The mind cannot be seen. But when people watch our physical body, they are watching a physical representation of the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions of our heart. We're not mind readers, but we can recognize what is in the minds of other people by watching their actions and listening to their words. The mind thinks the thoughts, but the body represents those thoughts. But there is also a third part to us, which is our spirit. Everyone has a spirit, and it is our spirit which is the third part of us. Our spirit is responsible for causing us to act or speak. You see, our physical body does not act or speak on its own, and the mind cannot communicate directly to other minds except through the words and actions of the body. So therefore, it is our spirit which seeks out the deep hidden things of our heart and reveals them to others by moving the body to act and speak accordingly. Our spirit, therefore, is the liaison between our mind and our body. It is the go-between for the heart and the flesh. Just as God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit make up God Himself, we are also three parts. And a three-part human being operates the same way as God operates. Just as a father is considered to be the authority of a son, so is God the Father the authority over Jesus Christ the Son. In the same way, our mind, because it houses the thoughts, beliefs, and convictions, is the authority part, or father part of us, which of course acts as the authority over our body. just as Jesus submitted himself to the authority of the Father part of God, our body also submits itself to the authority part of us. Now, that's enough review from last week, so let's go on with the subject for today of the numbers 6 and 7. And just in case you would like more information concerning the number 3, please feel free to contact us and ask for this current 2-part series entitled Numbers in the Bible. The series is free, there is never a charge, and there is never a request for a donation. So please feel free to contact us and ask for the series. We would be pleased to send it. Anyway, in considering the numbers 6 and 7, I would like you to realize that the numbers 6 and 7 are first used in the book of Genesis. The Bible says that on the sixth day of creation, God created animals and man. And then on the seventh day, God rested from his work. Now, I've got to make this as simple as possible, so what I'm going to do is to first give you some basic general concepts of the numbers 6 and 7, and afterward I'll give you a more extensive explanation. So please bear with me. First, the basics, and later, the more extensive explanation. So, first we have the sixth day when animals and man were created. This is where every man on earth gets his initial designation with the number 6. And this is because man was created on the sixth day. We humans begin our lives as sixth-day creatures and will remain sixth-day creatures unless we make a transfer from being sixth-day creatures to being seventh-day creatures. We can do this. I mean, we can become a seventh-day creature by ceasing from our own attempt at righteousness and then entering into God's rest by ceasing from our own works. You see, God rested on the seventh day. The Bible says that he ceased from his work of creation. An earthly man, because he is initially a creation of the sixth day and has not yet entered the seventh day Sabbath rest of God, he must therefore remain designated by the number 6. This is what Revelation 13:18 is referring to. The Bible uses the number 6 because man was created on the sixth day along with the beasts of the earth. Now, Revelation 13:18 actually refers to man's number as being 666, and not just a single 6. And if you heard last week's message, you can more easily understand that the 3 sixes represent the 3 parts of man. But, as I said, I'll give further explanation later. Now, the next part. In order for man to change his number from the number 6 to the number 7, man would ultimately have to enter into a union with God by ceasing from his own work, just as God ceased from his own work of creation on the seventh day. And here's the next important part. Because man's number is 6, he will be equated with the beasts of the earth who were also created on the sixth day, and will remain identified with them until such time as he rejects his physical self and becomes born again. At this time, man will enter into a relationship with God. This relationship will be accomplished by ceasing from his own work, just as God ceased from his own work. And this is what the Sabbath rest of God is all about. The Sabbath rest of God, which was demonstrated in the physical sense by the Israelites, is still necessary to enter into. No, not in relaxing on a certain day, but by ceasing from our own attempt at righteousness instead of trying to establish our own righteousness like the Israelites did under the Law of Commandments. You see, the Israelites were given the Law of Commandments written in tables of stone, and God told them to keep the law. However, the only thing this did was to teach them and also us Christians today, that no one could perfectly keep the law. In fact, Hebrews 10:4 tells us that even though the Israelites had the law of commandments, and even though they had observed the seventh-day Sabbath, yet still, as it says in Hebrews, no man had yet entered into God's rest. The Israelites had rested from physical labor, but their resting from physical labor had not enabled them to actually enter God's rest. This is because the Sabbath rest of God is more than physical resting from manual labor. What God intended to teach us by the schoolmaster of the law of commandments is that no man can be righteous by trying to keep the law of commandments. The Sabbath rest of God can only be attained when we cease from our own attempt at righteousness by keeping the law of commandments, and instead we fall upon the mercy of Jesus Christ and receive righteousness, not because we have kept all the laws of God, but because we believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see, what the old law of commandments and the new covenant of grace did for us was to show us that God is the only one who is good, and that man cannot be good in himself. No matter how hard man tries to be good, and no matter how hard man attempts to keep the law of commandments perfectly, we will always come short of the glory of God. God is the only one who is good. Therefore, the only way we can attain righteousness is by believing in God. God gives us righteousness not because we keep the law of commandments, and not because we stop all physical work on the seventh day. We receive righteousness from God by ceasing from our own works, and these works are the attempt at being righteous by the keeping of the law of commandments. Our final entrance into the Sabbath rest of God takes place only when we cease from our own attempt at righteousness by our works, and we receive righteousness by the gift of Jesus Christ. When and only when we realize and accept that Jesus Christ is the only way to be righteous, then and only then we enter into God's holy rest. To keep a single day holy will not give you entrance into God's rest. You will only enter God's Sabbath rest when you cease from your own attempt at righteousness and accept the fact that righteousness can only be attained by believing on God and on His Son, Jesus Christ. This is the new covenant of grace which came to us in order to deliver us from the curse of the law. Now, just a couple of things here to clarify. First, this does not mean that you don't try to be righteous. And second, it does not mean that a person cannot keep a day holy unto God. God knows your heart. And if you heard the message from last week concerning the three-part testimony of humans, then you will realize that God is going to judge your heart. And He's going to do it by looking at your three-part testimony. First, He will judge the testimony of what your lips said when you said the sinner's prayer. Secondly, He will judge the testimony of your body according to your words and actions from each and every day of your life. And thirdly, He will judge the testimony of your spirit by seeing what kind of fruit you bore as a Christian. If there is no fruit that comes from your confession of righteousness, then the testimony of your spirit will be rejected. You see, it is God's rest that we must enter into. The Israelites were only given the seventh-day rest in the form of a rest from physical labor. Yet this initial Sabbath rest of the Israelites was God's way of teaching us the importance of entering His rest, while at the same time teaching us that we could not be perfect in ourselves. We cannot be perfect because we aren't God. And this is how God is establishing His own righteousness and is also establishing the fact that there is no other person on earth or in heaven who can be righteous except God Himself. When we Christians acknowledge this and also acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way to attain that righteousness, then God gives us righteousness. This is the grace of God, and that's why God refers to the new covenant as the covenant of grace. And this brings us back to the numbers 6 and 7. Because you are a three-part person, you will give a three-part testimony on the day of judgment. You will testify to God in three ways that you are a Christian. However, as I've said many times before, if any part of your testimony is proven to be untrue, it will be thrown out. God will compare the testimony of your lips with the testimony of your words and actions, and also the testimony of your spirit. And if you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior only with your lips, but not with the words and actions of your life, then your testimony will be lacking. In addition, if God sees the testimony of your spirit and sees that your life has not borne the fruit of righteousness, then he will also know that the Holy Spirit was not active in your life. You can claim to serve Jesus Christ with your lips, but if you don't serve also with your words and actions and also demonstrate the fruit of righteousness, then the testimony of your lips will be thrown out. You will be condemned because the testimony of your actions and your spirit will both testify that your lips had lied when they recited the sinner's prayer. So here is the bottom line. The number 6 is man's number because he is first born as a physical person with a body of flesh and blood. Man was created on the 6th day, and therefore he is equated with the beasts of the earth. No, he's different than animals, but not in his nature. He is different in the sense that he stands erect upon his feet, and also that God has given him the ability to contemplate life after death. But initially, man's nature is very much like the beasts of the earth. You see, animals are also created as sixth-day creatures, like man was, but they have no ability to choose eternal life. Man does. But then the question is, will he? Will he choose eternal life with God by accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and become born again in spirit, or will he reject eternal life with God and remain aligned with the beasts of the earth? Which nature will he choose? The beast nature or the Holy Spirit nature of God? Animals are brute beasts. They do not use the power of reason, and they cannot choose life with God forever. And if any man chooses to reject a future life with God, then God will judge that man to be a brute beast also. Anyone who rejects God and rejects Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is also aligning himself with the nature of the beast. The man is a brute beast because he does not consider his eternal future and is therefore acting like a beast would act. Just as I explained a couple of minutes ago, God will judge them, and when God sees that their testimony is false, he will determine that they must be marked with the sign of Satan's ownership. And the sign of Satan's ownership is a mark, name, or number of the beast. And no matter whether it is the mark, or the name, or the number, it is still the same. It is the designation of ownership. The mark just means that these people have been marked as to who they belong to, and their mark is known to designate them as being owned by Satan, for they serve him with their whole heart. And the number of a man who rejects God is 666, because that man has testified with his body, his soul, and his spirit that he is rejecting eternal life with God and choosing to be aligned with the animals. He is choosing to be aligned with the sixth-day creatures rather than becoming born again in spirit and entering into the Sabbath rest of God.
We hope you are enjoying today's message. If you would like a copy of today's program, Please listen after Randy's closing thoughts for our contact information. As long as the Lord enables us, we will provide all of our materials free of charge. Please be assured that you will not be asked for any donation. We believe that God will supply our need as He sees fit. God's word is freely given. Now, once again, here's Randy.
You must understand that God created man on the same day as animals in order to teach us the similarities and differences between man and animals, and also to show us how to enter into God's rest and therefore separate ourselves from wickedness. You see, when the Bible says to come out from among them and be separate, it means that we are to put away the nature of the beast and be born again in spirit. We are to cease from our own attempt at righteousness by realizing and accepting the fact that it is God and only God who is righteous, and that mankind was never intended to be righteous by just trying to be good. As Jesus said in Matthew 19:17, there is no one who is good except God. As soon as we finally come to the knowledge that we cannot be good, no matter how hard we try to keep God's laws, and then realize that the only way we can attain the righteousness of God is through His grace, then and only then will we enter into God's rest. The Sabbath was made for man, not so that man could rest physically, but so that man could learn that goodness is strictly God-given and not earned. We cannot earn God's salvation, but we can please God by trying to be obedient. The problem we have as humans is when we try to be good and think that this is the same thing as being righteous. Righteousness is absolutely necessary for a Christian, but righteousness cannot be attained by our own works. Works are good, and any Christian will have good works, and the Holy Spirit will cause those good works to bear fruit. But it is only the power of God that causes our works to be fruitful. If God would turn things around and cause us Christians to be put back under the law, we would be just as good and just as bad as the Israelites were. Sometimes people condemn the Jews because of how they failed God so miserably, but those Israelites were no different than we are. Just as the Apostle Paul tells us, we try to be good, but we don't do it, and we try not to do evil, but we still do it. Fortunately for us, God has shown us that if we are truly born again in spirit, then it is no longer us that sin, but sin works through our flesh. If we are born again in spirit, then we are no longer people of flesh. Yes, we still dwell in bodies of flesh, but as born again spirit beings, we are no longer flesh and blood beings, and therefore we are righteous through Jesus Christ. And one last thing. God never intended that people use His grace as a tool to be evil. If you are evil, then God will see it. You can't hide your heart from Him. But the most important thing is that you will not be deceived by your own heart. God has given us the understanding of our three-part existence so that we can judge ourselves before God does, so that when God judges us, we can be found righteous. If your heart does not yearn for righteousness, then you will be condemned no matter how many sinners' prayers you uttered. So take a look at yourself and make sure that the testimony of your lips lines up with the testimony of your daily actions, and also that you are actually bearing the fruit of righteousness. If your spirit is truly the Holy Spirit, then everyone will see the fruit you bear for God. But if your actions and the fruit of your spirit are contrary to your sinner's prayer, then each one of your three parts, body, soul, and spirit, will receive a 6. And when it is determined that each of your three parts is a sixth-day creature instead of a seventh-day creature, then you will be given a 6 for each part. And 3 parts of 6 each ends up being 666.
Thank you for joining us for Scripture Beneath the Surface. Today's message was part 2 of a 2-part series entitled Numbers in the Bible. If you would like a copy of this series, please contact us. As always, there is no charge for our material, and you will not be asked for any donation. In addition, we will send you the complete list of our messages, which contain such topics as Image of the Beast, Mark of the Beast, and the Rapture. There are several ways to obtain our messages. Just contact us in the way which is easiest for you. If you are comfortable with computers, you may download our messages from our website. The website address is preparationministries.net. Preparation Ministries is all one word. That's preparationministries.net. However, we would be happy to send the CDs and transcripts directly to you if that would be easier. Our postal address is Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. That's Preparation Ministries, P.O. Box 475, Olivet, Michigan 49076. We also have an email address. It is preparationministries@gmail.com. That's preparationministries, all one word, @gmail.com. Or you may contact us by telephone. The number is area code 269-763-2114. That's 269-763-2114. Thank you again for listening to Scripture Beneath the Surface, and may God bless.